It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Aldermen for the city of Milwaukee approved a settlement last week over its stop and frisk policies. We're exploring that decision and what it means for the future with Mary Spacuzza of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. What do you think of this decision? Do we need to retrain police in Milwaukee? Have you or someone you know been targeted by stop and frisk? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org. Tweet us, please tweet us at WPR Mornings. So Mary Spacuzza, we're talking about, you were just talking before the break about there are some aldermen who said that this is not racial profiling, even though everybody who was stopped was a person of color.
So those involved in the lawsuit certainly were, and Charles Collins, who was the lead plaintiff, basically, you know, when the settlement was approved by the Common Council, said that he felt he was stopped by Milwaukee police and treated like a suspect, wasn't doing anything wrong, and that he said that he hoped that this agreement gave him hope that the police would change the way they treated him, and I think ultimately people like him who were stopped and felt like they were targeted when they hadn't done anything wrong.
So there was no probable cause to stop them, and the police didn't necessarily find any law breaking.
That was the argument of the plaintiffs. However, the several of the aldermen said that what their understanding or what they had been told was not necessarily that they hadn't done anything wrong, but that it was a case of poor documentation and poor record keeping, where the police had reasons to stop them and just didn't write them down and document them. Obviously, that was, I only heard that from a few aldermen, and certainly there are a number of aldermen on the Common Council who did feel like it was, or were concerned that it was racial profiling and concerned that people were being stopped without reason. And so obviously, you know, that was the point of the ACLU, was that these people are being stopped there's no reason for it. So alders, however, even the ones that voiced concern, there were two no votes on the settlement who wanted to fight it out in court. But I think the vast majority felt like that was just too much of a financial risk. And certainly some voiced concern about the policy, which Chief Morales, the new police chief, has said that, you know, some of the city's policies have changed under him.
Right.
And that this is one that, you know, is not going to be as much of an issue. But certainly this lawsuit will, and especially the consultant monitoring things, will certainly try to make sure that that is the case, and that this any kind of racial profiling or illegal stops are not allowed to continue.
Just to contextualize this a little bit, in 2013, U.S. District Judge Shira Schendlein ruled that the way New York City carried out its policy violated the U.S. Constitution. I want to note that she did not say stop and frisk is unconstitutional. She said that the way New York City carried out the policy was a form of racial profiling and therefore unconstitutional. So it's not really clear where we are with stop and frisk here as the city goes forward. Do you believe that the police chief now is making good faith efforts to actually change this policy?
He's certainly said that he is making good faith efforts to change that. And I think over this is essentially a settlement that includes a 5-year agreement where the consultant will be working with the department and monitoring it, along with the Fire and Police Commission, which is the civilian oversight board that looks, that reviews the police. So I think there will certainly be a lot more data collection, a lot more training for officers on how to appropriately do stops and searches. So I don't think this is an agreement that says nobody will be stopped and searched by the police, certainly, but that there will be changes to how they conduct those.
We are talking about Milwaukee's settlement with the ACLU. It's going to cost the city $3.4 million. We're taking your calls on this. 800-642-1234. We've got Barry from Rice Lake. Thank you for being here, Barry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my question was, I wanted to know what the actual insurance coverage for the city was. that goes towards that and how much that affected the settlement amount and the fact to settle.
That's an interesting question. Do we have, Mary, how much insurance covered this settlement?
So this is one of those interesting, the city, Milwaukee self-insures, unlike other places. I did not hear insurance talked about as much of a factor in this decision as much as the cost of continuing the lawsuit and how much it could cost the city to fight this out in court and end up paying legal fees that could climb into millions of dollars. But actually, in past cases, there's been argument that Milwaukee was more likely to fight in court than somebody who had like an external insurance company representing them. But in this case, it sounds like the city attorney was certainly urging Alders to not fight this in court, at least from what I was not in those closed door sessions where they discussed this. But that was certainly the impression that I was given from city officials.
So we are talking about this $3.5 million settlement in Milwaukee with the ACLU over their stop and frisk policy. We're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Throw us an email, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us. Honestly, you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. I find this interesting, Mary, that the consultants that are paid were not necessarily paid because of the expertise that they have given to this particular case in this particular settlement. These consultants are being paid for their long-term work to turn this policy around. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, I don't believe the consultants have actually done. I think that they're signing the contract with the city, but they were not really part of the lawsuit itself. They're being brought in to work as kind of third-party monitors to help the police analyze their data, gather data, look at training. And it's my understanding that they'll be more of a kind of external, playing an external role in all of this. And I think the idea is probably that the ACLU wanted like a third-party monitor to make sure that things were changing and that they could document that things are changing, or at least that they're documenting their work and why they're stopping people.
So we have had other shows in which people from Milwaukee have called in, people of color from Milwaukee have called in and said that they love Milwaukee. We actually had a show just on Milwaukee and how wonderful it was. And we had people call in to say, we love Milwaukee, except we don't like dealing with the police. We have bad encounters with the police. Are you finding that as you're covering this beat?
That's certainly been something that we've talked about a lot. You know, Milwaukee's my hometown. I was born here. I think that over the years, we keep seeing study after study where Milwaukee has problems with segregation, has problems with racial disparities, racial inequality. So it is something that has come up time and time again. And I do think a lot of people in the community feel a distrust for police and might even be hesitant to call in cases of emergency. Mm. I think that everyone feels like they want, you know, I think people who love Milwaukee, people who are critical of Milwaukee would like to see that change where there's greater equality here.
And greater equality also means maybe spending more money on infrastructure. I mean, is that part of it? Police are being asked to do things that police don't necessarily have the expertise to do.
I think, you know, Mayor Barrett and a lot of city officials have been very critical of the current state government. Governor Scott Walker and those in control of the legislature, Republicans who control the legislature, saying that Milwaukee isn't getting their fair share of state funding. Mm. They've said that Milwaukee basically gives more than it gets back. Obviously, Governor Walker and those who control the legislature don't feel that way. But I think that the mayor has said that he feels that Governor Walker and the legislature almost kick Milwaukee around for sport, where Milwaukee is a social engine of the state, but yet it's always kind of talked about as this problem child for the state. And he feels like that is not the economic reality of Milwaukee. But Milwaukee has faced really tough budget times lately, and you saw the last budget cycle where there were fire stations being closed and positions being eliminated, and the initial budget proposal actually included a number of not layoffs, but position eliminations for police as well. That number for police and fire were reduced, but it obviously was not a budget that really anybody at City Hall was a fan of, because it was just really tough.
And when we're talking about the those kinds of things, closing firehouses and what have you, are we talking about Milwaukee County? Are we talking just about the city?
This is specifically the city of Milwaukee. So that was a city. There's the county budget and the city budget, and this was specifically the city budget where firehouses were closed. Some of them were older and would have required a lot of repairs to get up to really what they need them to be, but there was certainly an economic consideration that was driving it, and that there were, you know, I don't think anybody wants to see their neighborhood firehouse closed down, and you know, the fire department had been arguing it wouldn't affect call times, and I'm sure that will be a issue that people will be monitoring as that really turn out to be the case as we see we see months and a year pass from when they're closed.
So what I find interesting about this is that these are issues that are urban issues. It's not just the city of Milwaukee. There are a lot of urban centers that have found ways to revitalize. Is Milwaukee looking into that so that they maybe can have more money to be able to train their police force better and alleviate some of this poverty?
We have we talk a lot about the economic renaissance of downtown and the building boom of downtown and the new Bucks Arena and the Northwestern Mutual Tower, and how much downtown is just really exploding with growth. I think a lot of people have talked about wanting to push that more into the neighborhoods. Mm. So there are certainly alders who feel like their neighborhoods are not benefiting as much as they would like from the economic growth of downtown. And actually, Mayor Barrett wrote a letter to Jeff Bezos recently saying... Jeff Bezos of Amazon saying essentially it would be great if you could bring stable employment to the central city and not necessarily build out in the suburbs, but come here and bring a lot of jobs, and we have people ready to work.
We are talking to Mary Spicuzza about the $3.4 million settlement made by the city of Milwaukee over its stop and frisk policies. We've been talking about Milwaukee in general. Thanks for being with us, Mary.
Thanks so much for having me on.
I'm Carrie Kaufman. It's a morning show, and you are listening to the Ideas Network.